The bursting of shells, the bark of artillery, and the crackle of gunfire for the past 2 months a part of the Okinawa scene may soon be no more. Straight from Admiral Nimitz, the Navy's big boss in the Pacific, comes word that Okinawa's conquest can be written off in perhaps 3 or 4 days. Digging out the remaining fanatical Jap resistance on muddy Okinawa, weary Yanks today received a gratifying message from Nimitz, who said their work can be labeled officially as well done. Yes, and needless to say, the good job of these doughboys has the enemy plenty worried. Even a Tokyo news dispatch today says flatly, the unmistakable signs point to the Americans' intention to invade the Japanese mainland. But farther away from the rising sun homeland, other GIs are knifing into the last enemy units in the Philippines. On northern Luzon, the 37th Infantry Division is storming the town of Aritao, 10 miles north of fallen Santa Fe. On southern Mindanao, the 24th Division has picked up 5 more miles in the Davao area. And slowly but surely, Davy Jones is grabbing more control of the Japanese fleet than Hirohito himself. Another story of heroic American action at sea has been released by our Navy Department. The thriller tells how a U.S. sub sneaked into the center of a Nippon convoy and in just 46 minutes of furious battle sent to the bottom 5 enemy vessels. Our sub, the Posh, commanded by L.P. Ramage of Louisville, New York, had stalked the big convoy for several hours on a stormy night. Once it had closed in for the kill, but only to be shoved off by escorting war vessels. On the second try, the Posh maneuvered inside the escort screen, then let loose with torpedoes. There was a loud explosion, and the Jap ship was not seen again. A tanker got the next blows, and with dawn approaching and the task well done, the Posh sped to safety. And taking safety measures to prevent the Nazi hierarchy from rising again, the Allied Control Council today put its iron hand tight on Germany. All governmental functions in the once vaunted fatherland now are under the seeing eye of the great powers, United States, Britain, Russia, and France. General Eisenhower put his name to the historic document for the United States, and General Ike, as we all know by now, will soon hit some home shores. One of his chief aides, General Omar Bradley, is already here. And today, Bradley addressed one of the largest graduating classes at West Point. Bradley urged a permanent corps of professional soldiers, about which, he said, we can mobilize a great citizen army if needed as the foundation of global security. Another graduating class, this at Columbia University, heard Dr. Nicholas Murray Butler in his last commencement address as president. The 83-year-old president told 1,000 graduates that international cooperation is the only method to restore the world to a rational and moral basis of action and advancement. Meanwhile, clouds of mystery still surround the 24-hour-old murder at a smart East Side New York hotel. New York police report only sketchy clues, and thus far, cops haven't been able to turn up suspects or even a single motive. Wealthy Alfred Langford, a tall, gray-haired textile executive, was shot last night in the hallway of his apartment at the Swank Hotel, which is the residence of several social and theatrical figures. Turning to a pleasanter subject, it seems no one's too old to slip down the orange blossom trail. Take, for example, James Cooper of Racine, Wisconsin. He's 101 years old and has applied for a marriage license and pictures himself as a man lucky to have held out as long as he did in the matrimonial scramble. Cooper says his first wife died in 1868, and the 101-year-old sir proudly says, my hearing is good enough so that I can hear a pin drop. His bride-to-be, she's 62, describes Cooper as full of the dickens. Here's the scoreboard in Big League Baseball. Nationals, Cincinnati 4, Pittsburgh nothing. Second game, Pittsburgh 9, Cincinnati 1. The Boston game at Philadelphia and the Chicago game at St. Louis were washed out by rain. The Dodgers are playing the Giants tonight. American, the Yanks at Washington are leading 12-3 in the 6th inning of the first game of a doubleheader. The Philadelphia game at Boston was postponed by rain. St. Louis is playing Chicago tonight, and Detroit has a night game at Cleveland. Here are the daily news headlines. Admiral Nimitz says Okinawa campaign may be wrapped up in 3 or 4 days. Pacific boss praises 10th Army by describing its work as well done. Tokyo Dispatch says all signs now point to American invasion of homeland. Mop-up continues in Philippines. One American sub sinks five enemy vessels in furious but gallant 46-minute battle. Now the latest report from the United States Weather Bureau. 8 p.m. temperature 54, tonight cloudy with occasional sprinkle. Lowest 45 to 50 in city, near 40 in suburbs. Tomorrow, considerable cloudiness, highest near 60. News around the clock is compiled by the Daily News, New York's picture newspaper. A fresh summary comes to you at half past every hour. For all the news all the time, stay tuned to WNEW New York.
Here's a transcription.
Every night after supper, here's the way the songs begin.
I like Chiclets candy-coated chewing gum.
Then we chew refreshing Chiclets, and all of us join in. I like Chiclets candy-coated chewing gum.
This is WNEW New York. Gentlemen, we invite you to stay tuned to WNEW for the balance of the evening for the gigantic war bond Glenn Miller salute from the stage of the New York Paramount Theater. Our regularly scheduled programs for tonight will not be heard, and we wish to thank the following sponsors whose programs give way to this special broadcast. Mission Bell, 17 Magazine, Lambert Brothers, Pepsi-Cola, Rikers, and the Palisades. And now stand by as we switch you to the stage of the Paramount Theater.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Joe Bolton speaking to you from the Paramount Theater in New York City, where some of the big stars of the band leaders and singers of the Metropolitan and in throughout the world are gathered here to pay tribute to Major Glenn Miller. An all-American soldier pageant is unfolding on the stage in front of us, and Martin Block is here to give the scene to you. Martin Block.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Seated in a very precarious spot in the Paramount Theater, this is Martin Block, 195 feet from the stage, with a very powerful pair of field glasses and a fairly good pair of ears to endeavor to bring you everything that transpires tonight at the Paramount Theater in this memorial for Glenn Miller. I say memorial, not really that, a tribute, rather, to a great man. At the present moment, the Army Air Corps Band from Mitchell Field is now on stage, as you can no doubt hear in the background. The colors now troop on the stage, with the color guard, of course. They're coming to stage center, now marching to the rear. Each of the guards step to either side, and the color bearer to the center. With the spotlight on him, it makes a very, very impressive picture, even from where we're sitting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Be seated, please.
And now the theater goes into complete and total blackness. Everyone has taken their seat here at the Paramount Theater. There's over 4,000 people crowded in here with a complete total sale of war bonds of over $4 million. A fitting indeed tribute to a great man, to Major Glenn Miller, on this Glenn Miller Day broadcast, which is being observed nationally in the sale of war bonds in the 7th War Loan Campaign. Now, while we're waiting for the lights to come on in the theater and for the show to start, I'd like to remind you that tomorrow you have the opportunity of visiting your favorite motion picture theater simply by buying a free war bond, or rather buying a war bond at the theater. That is your only ticket of admittance. The only thing required is that you buy a war bond tomorrow at your favorite theater. That is the motion picture industry's contribution to our Treasury Department's drive. And now let's return to the stage.
Was Captain Frederick S. Hines, bomber pilot. On October 26, 1943, in a 40-minute engagement, two of his engines were shot out and a third crippled. In order to cover the 1,000 miles back to home base, all heavy equipment was jettisoned except the top turret gun and 25 rounds of ammunition. Near Kisar Island, two more enemy fighters attacked the bomber. Ammunition gone, The pilot maintained flight defenseless for 30 minutes. The bomber was riddled with machine gun and cannon fire. The co-pilot's controls were shut out. Every member of the crew was either killed or wounded. Suffering wounds in the arm and head, the pilot refused to give up and brought his crippled bomber to a smooth landing on the open sea. He and six others perished, but by his indomitable courage, he saved the lives of four of his comrades. This soldier...
Lieutenant Alexander. Directly across the stage at Paramount Theater. The spotlight is now focused on the second cross.
He did complete it as far as hitting the target went, but he never came out of it. He was killed by enemy fire over Germany. And this soldier... Lieutenant Bob Wyatt, age 22, of Parsons, Kansas, who flew with the famous 99th Pursuit Squadron, the first all-Negro Air Corps unit to actively participate in a combat theater of operations. Lieutenant Wyatt gave his life when flying over enemy-held territory during a reconnaissance trip in Italy. His plane was attacked and was seen to crash into a beachhead. This soldier, Sergeant Stuart H. Harrison, right waist gunner of a B-17, on a bombing mission over Germany on October 20th, 1943, just prior to the bomb run, Sergeant Harrison saw the other waist gunner slump to the floor, thereby breaking his oxygen connection and knocking his mask off. With complete disregard for his own safety, and knowing the danger of lack of oxygen at high altitude, he disconnected his own oxygen supply line and tried to remove his fallen comrade to the radio compartment. In the attempt to save the life of his comrade, he forfeited his own. This soldier...
The star of Israel now.
Private Hyman Epstein of the Medical Corps. He gave his life in New Guinea. In the jungles, his company was attacked by Jap machine guns directed on their line of crawl. Epstein lay in a mud hole. He saw a man about 8 feet ahead of him hit in the neck by a bullet. He went out, ignoring the enemy's guns trained on the spot where the wounded man lay. He treated the soldier and crawled back to the lines. Later, when another man was hit, he crawled out again while enemy shells poured all around him. He went out a third time. This time he stayed a little too long. A sniper picked him off. And this soldier was Private Junior M. Van Noy. In October 1943, was a gunner in charge of a machine gun post only 5 yards from the water's edge. When the alarm was given that three enemy barges loaded with troops were approaching the beach, one barge was sunk by Allied fire. The other two beached 10 yards from Private Van Noy's gun emplacement. Despite his exposed position, he poured a hail of fire into the debarking enemy troops. His loader was wounded by a grenade and evacuated. Private Van Noy, also seriously wounded, remained at his post, ignoring calls of nearby soldiers to withdraw. Private Van Noy expended every round of ammunition and was found dead beside his gun. And this soldier, ladies and gentlemen, the unknown soldier of this war. Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God.
Squad! Team! Cut! Squad! Ready?
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, into thine eternal keeping we commend the souls of those whose life is the heavy price of our victory. Give unto us, the living, a deepened sense of our responsibility to them and to our nation, that their sacrifice shall not be in vain. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
De profundis cum aviante Domini, Domini exari voce me. Fiat auris tu intendentes, in vocem de precautionis me. Si iniquitatis observabris, Domini, Domini quis sustinavit. Qui abite proficiaso est, et proper legion tuum sustinui te Domini. Sustinuit arma me in verbo es, speravit arma me in Domino. Hac historia matutinos quia noctem, spirit Israel in Domino. Requiem aeternum dona ei Domini, et lux perpetua lucere.
Hail, mole rachamim, shochein bamromim. Hamtzei menucha nechona, tachas kanfei hashchina. Bamalos kadoshim utahorim, kzohar horokia mazhirim. Es nishmos anshei hachayil, asher he'eru lamoves nafshom, Yad al-Som. B'gan Eden tehei menuchosom. B'yonduchu al-Mishkovom b'shalom. V'yimaru. Amen.
To listen to the All-American Soldier pageant taking place on stage at the Paramount Theater on our Glenn Miller Day show, taking place here, the sale of war bonds in the 7th War Loan Campaign. The colors are now leaving the stage.
Gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure and is indeed a privilege to introduce to you a soldier who is a commanding officer of Mitchell Field, New York, This soldier had the pleasure and the privilege to pilot a B-25 with General Doolittle from the Hornet and be in the party of men who were the first to bomb Tokyo. I'd like to present to you Colonel Everett Holstrom.
Ladies and gentlemen, we at Mitchell Field are greatly honored to have been able to participate in this giant salute to Major Glenn Miller. It is fitting that a program to honor such a man who is well known and liked in show business be staged by his fellow artists of the amusement and entertainment world. It is fitting, too, that it should be for such a worthy cause as the 7th War Loan Drive. You all know by reading the newspaper accounts that the face of Tokyo has been slightly altered since the original raid on April 1942. Well, that is good, but it'll still be even better. All of you here present, by your presence here, have contributed to and made possible greater and larger operations against Tokyo and all of Japan. I believe, though, that you all realize that. So, let's get on with the show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Spivak and his orchestra coming up in the elevated pit from the bottom of the Paramount Theater, rising so that they can be seen by the entire audience. Charlie and the orchestra are playing Glenn Miller's theme, which you, of course,
recognize that song, and it's our pleasure, distinct honor, to play it.
That was Charlie Spivak himself speaking into our microphone here at WNEW New York. Next voice you hear will be Charlie Spivak.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being here tonight. I find it a little hard to talk. My throat's a little bit choked up. But I would like to say that I know and I have known my friend Major Glenn Miller for a good many years. I know him to be a very great musician, a gentleman, a very devoted family man, and a great leader. I only wish that he were here tonight to see and hear what's going on here, and not only here, but throughout the country, this tremendous tribute to our friend Major Glenn Miller. And I am certain that when he comes back, he in his own way will show the entire world his appreciation for this wonderful salute. I'd like to thank Mr. Bob Whiteman, Managing Director of the Paramount Theater, who Glenn Miller
Glenn Miller thought of very much of, and for letting us do our little part here in this tremendous salute. Thank you very much. And now on with the show, a salute to the armed forces. I'd like to call on a very talented young man who was associated with Major Miller just before he broke up his civilian band. This particular boy also entered the service, and he went into the Navy. He is at the present time a chief petty officer and located in Oklahoma. He used to play saxophone with Glenn, and he came up here especially tonight to take part in this salute to Major Miller. I'd like to call on Chief Petty Officer Tex Beneke. Come on, Tex.
Thank you very much, Charlie. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great honor for me to be here tonight. So happens that I have quite a lump in my throat for my old boss. I know he's coming back someday. And I'd like to do one of the old numbers that we used to do with the band, Ida. Ida. Sweet as apple cider, sweeter than all I know. Come on out in silvery moonlight, a fluff we'll whisper, so sweet and low. Seems as though I can't live without you. Listen, oh honey, do I love, I so love you. Oh baby, I love you, I love, indeed I do. Thank you.
dee-da-doo.
That was Tex Beneke, ladies and gentlemen. Tex Beneke at the Paramount in our Glenn Miller Day tribute. You can hear the audience, of course.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Tex Beneke will be back later on in the show. Now we present three very fine performers, Tip Tap and Toe. Here they are.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, while Tip Tap and Toe are performing on stage, as you know, of course, they are one of the country's foremost dance teams. But until such time as WNEW is able to bring you television, I'm afraid that your appreciation of their fine act would not be just exactly what you'd anticipate from a radio broadcast. Instead of which, I'd like to use just a moment to remind you that this is WNEW in New York, and that we are being privileged tonight to bring you in its entirety the proceedings from the Paramount Theater in Times Square. This is Major Glenn Miller Day, dedicated to sale of war bonds for the 7th War Loan Drive. We have about 4,000 people here at the Paramount Theater. Every seat is occupied, and each person seated in each seat has purchased a war bond. Actually, over $4 million in war bonds have been sold for this one night's performance. Now, of course, tomorrow has been designated by the motion picture industry as Free Theater Day. So that if you buy a war bond anytime tomorrow, day or night, you'll be privileged to visit your favorite theater. Of course, you must buy your bond at the theater you wish to attend. Now, oh, I see. All right. You know, we're seated way up here in the ceiling at the Paramount Theater, about 195 feet from the stage. A pair of binoculars, a microphone, and incidentally, we happen to be seated on floodlights. Believe me, they get rather warm. I've already placed two coats between the floodlights and myself. Now, I'd like to go back just a little bit, if I may. Major Glenn Miller Day is being celebrated nationally. I can think of no greater figure who could possibly have been selected by the Treasury Department for this fitting tribute. Major Glenn Miller gave up every opportunity in this world to serve his country. He broke up one of the most successful bands in the business, a band that was unquestionably one of the top earners. He enlisted in the United States Army Air Corps and proceeded to form a band. He was stationed at Yale University. The band became the talk of the country, even though it was an Army band. And they didn't have the opportunity, of course, of calling on many of the famous musicians that Glenn had with him in civilian life. Then, after about a year and a half in this country, Glenn shipped overseas. He was stationed in London, where, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, he did a magnificent job of boosting the morale and entertaining our men and women overseas. Then came that fateful day about a year ago when Glenn was ordered on to Paris. And landing in Paris, or rather, I should say, taking off for Paris, the plane was unheard from. To this very moment, no one knows what happened to that plane which was carrying Major Miller to Paris. We have had no definite word of any kind other than that he is missing in action. We who knew him and loved him have a very peculiar feeling about the whole thing. We sort of kind of feel that plane came down someplace. Where, we don't know. But we do have that feeling that one of these days, Major Glenn Miller is going to show up. That he's going to carry on with his wonderful entertaining of our men and women in service and eventually back to civilian life to reform one of the grandest bands that ever played in this country. The audience, of course, here at the Paramount Theater is applauding vociferously for Tip Tap and Toe. They have their little raised platform in the center of the stage. And if I have ever seen educated legs in my life, these boys have them. This little platform is only about 5 feet long and 3 feet wide. And one at a time, they get up there and go through their paces. Each one seems to say to the other one, let's see if you can outdo what I'm doing. And, of course, each one gets a tremendous hand. Now, immediately after Tip Tap and Toe have done their little bit, you're going to hear on our microphone one of your very, very favorite vocalists. And, of course, it will be announced from the stage. Charlie Spivak, each band, I might tell you this now, the leader of each band acts as his own master of ceremonies on stage. We are seated up here 195 feet from the stage where we're able to see everything that's going on and to see as each person comes to the microphone. Tip Tap and Toe are now leaving stage. I want to leave you temporarily to Charlie Spivak with just one reminder. When you hear a Glenn Miller song that you like, remember Glenn Miller and Firebomb. Here's Charlie.
Making her first appearance on the Paramount stage, and a girl whose voice you hear on recordings more than anyone else's, it's my pleasure to introduce Joe Stafford.
Joe Stafford, in a very beautiful, beautiful electric blue dress, comes to the center of the stage to sing.
Embrace me, my sweet embrace, will you?
Thank you so much. I had the pleasure of recording my next song not so very long ago with Johnny Mercer and the Pied Pipers. It's a favorite of mine, and I hope you like it too. Just stand.
was Joe Stafford, ladies and gentlemen, and now Joe is leading stage. Here's Charlie Spivak. Charlie, I don't know, he's not getting much of a chance to talk again. The audience is still applauding. Joe takes another bow, and here goes the band. Trumpet, Charlie Spivak and the orchestra playing on the stage of the Paramount Theater, our Glenn Miller Day tribute. Thank you, Charlie Spivak. Charlie Spivak and the orchestra. Irish Lullaby.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. One of the top names in orchestras and one of the bands chosen to go overseas to entertain our boys across, I refer to Shep Fields, and let's give him a nice reception.
Come on, Shep. There's Jeff Fields coming out on stage now, coming to stage center, and he'll have a few words to say in our Major Glenn Miller book.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed an honor to be here tonight and to be a part of this wonderful tribute to my friend, Major Glenn Miller. I have always been closely associated with Glenn, and have a profound respect for the ideals and the high standards he set in the musical field. I know all of us will make tonight a success by making the seventh wall loan the most successful of all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chef Peel. I'd like to introduce you now to a real swell fellow and a wonderful entertainer, Dean Murphy.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. There's nothing like an American sense of humor. I found that to be pretty true in reading through the classified advertisements in this morning's newspaper. One soldier with 2 years' duty overseas would like to meet a young widow with 3 children. object 85 points. Then, too, some of the people you meet immediately register a big grin or a happy smile, show that they have a sense of inward cheerfulness. One guy out in Chicago a couple of weeks ago walked up to me, said he did impersonations of people, had been doing one of Charles Chaplin that was so successful. His case comes up this week. There's another guy out in Long Island whom I didn't know too well a couple of weeks ago, but he's been coming every morning with a report about two sardines that live not far from his house just off the coast. According to his report this morning, these sardines had a violent argument. One of them turned to the other and said, "Come on, come on, what are you waiting for? No more U-boats in the Atlantic Ocean. Let's start swimming through there, get over to Europe, take a look and find out what that DE day was all about." Other one said, "Are you kidding? You must be about the dumbest sardine I ever talked to. Who ever heard of swimming through that icy cold Atlantic Ocean?" Not me this time of the year. If you want to swim someplace, let's follow that nice warm Gulf Stream down to Miami. We can stop, shoot some rounds of golf in the Carolinas, get a suntan, play the horses from Miami Beach. It'll be wonderful. He said, "You call me a dumb sardine. You're the dullest-minded sardine I ever talked to. Who in the world ever heard of swimming to Miami Beach? Let's get on that streamlined train." He said, "Get on a train and be packed in like soldiers and sailors. Nothing doing." Out of all the guys we've known, there's still only one fellow who's... Yes, sir, you can get excited on a meatless Tuesday about a fish story. But last night I was sitting in my automobile wearing my favorite jockey suit. You see, I was racing the motor. When I turned to my sweetheart and said, "Darling, I love you in blue, I love you in red. But best of all, I love you when I've got you in blue. You're the most beautiful thing." And of all the youngsters, there's Charlie McCarthy. "Big man. Bye, 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 bye. Nothing bothers me. Do, do, do. But there's one thing I could never figure out, so help me. Why a train goes into a tunnel going woo, 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 and comes out going..." "But he's one guy I'll flip my whole down. More fitter than snared with his hope. Yo, oh my golly. You can worry about the cigarette shortage because nowadays, with a guy that knows tobacco best, it's marijuana 2-1. But of all the glamour girls, there's Betty Davis. But Peter, come here. Peter, I know you're upset with me. You've been so nervous all night long. But I tried everywhere, Peter. It seems no one has any Philip Morris. But of all the nice guys, there's Cloth Gable with the eyes that it's in the day. I know that little thing's in sort of get my goat every once in a while. But that guy that stopped me tonight really got my goat when he wanted to sell me some hot cigarettes. I said, "What do you mean, hot cigarettes?" He said, "They're butts that are still burning." And out of all the kids with a good sense of laughter, there's been Catherine Hepburn with "Rally on Elvine." So many things makes life me. I'm so intensely thrilled about my new motion picture with Frank Sinatra entitled Anemia for Two. And though I admire Frankie, there's Ronald Coleman with "Yes, I must admit there are many things to delight me. And last evening, I held the most beautiful woman in my arms. It was when I kissed her that I got a great bang out of it. Her bubble gum blew up." And of all the fellows with a good sense of laughter, there's being Charles Boyer. And he said, "They know. I know there are many things to excite me. Beautiful woman, Ida. Ida's the most beautiful woman in the world. I love Ida. But does Ida love me? No, support Ida." But of all these men who understand people, there's Mayor LaGuardia with
"Fellow citizens and bookmakers. I realize that you ladies can help greatly in the war effort if you turn your fast hands into the city hall tomorrow. And out of all the fellows, there's W.C. Fields
with all the ass. Good to see Broadway all lit up again. In a couple hours, I'll be in the same condition. And so a toast to the future. Biff, boom, B, hit him in the knee. Biff, boom, bass, hit him in the other knee. Crack him on the knuckles. And of all the girls with a sense of laughter, the incomparable Hildegard. Hello!
Good evening, good evening.
Hello!
Believe me, I'm so excited. These boys in Charlie Speedback's band are so intelligent. I speak to the boys in the band in Dutch, they ya-ya. Speak to them in Russian, they da-da. Speak to them in Spanish, they see-see. When I speak to them in French, they're such wonderful boys. And of all the nice fellows, Colonel Jimmy Stewart.
Well, I guess there are a lot of reasons why a sense of humor is a wonderful thing. A little bit of cheer, a little bit of good nature helps a whole lot in these days. Men of faith have proved throughout our history, and short, brief history it has been too, that it's been one of the standing helps of any nation to have a little bit of a smile behind things. Well, out of all the smiles that we've known in the world that gave us cheer through the days when we needed it, and out of all the dreams we'd like to see realized because of him, I recall a man who once said, "My friends and fellow Americans, there is a pretty practical pattern for peace on earth, the men of goodwill. It's made not only of the heroism of our fighting forces, nor is it solely sustained by the sincere efforts of statesmen the world over. It depends pretty much upon the average man's conception of freedom. And the American people have always known that all they ever had to fear was fear itself. They knew in their own hearts that the only limitation upon tomorrow was their despair of today. And these people are big-hearted, just-filled, merciful men and women. The American spirit of cradle of equality and tolerance has bared that out in history. And these will be the strong things to help that nation in the days that lie ahead. Peace on earth, the men of goodwill, will come one day. Once men have grown up spiritually. Once they know that it's not just fashionable and smart to talk about tolerance, but to do something about it. To feel in their hearts that there's no bigotry, no malice, no discrimination. To know in their own conscience that the love of their own fellow men can be shared, and the progressive world can be built upon that sharing equally. These things will be borne out in the faith of the American people, just as surely as that government of these people could never, ever perish from the earth.
Well, and ladies and gentlemen, was Dean Murphy. Dean Murphy on stage at the Paramount Theater in our Major Glenn Miller Day tribute. Here's Charlie Speedback again.
Dean, come on out.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Dean, they love you out here. Come on back. Dean Murphy. Come on.
Thank you very much. You've been most kind. We have an exceptionally long show, and I'd like to thank you from the very bottom of my e-bond.
Thank you, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I'd like to introduce a very good friend of ours, also one of the top names in the orchestra, and also one of the bands picked to go overseas to entertain our boys. I refer to the ace drummer man, Gene Krupa.
Thank you, Charlie. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be on the Paramount stage again, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm very proud to be here tonight and the privilege of serving the cause of the 7th War Loan Drive, which tonight honors Major Glenn Miller, is, I guarantee you, an experience that I shall never forget. Let's forget about the speeches now, and Charlie, if you'll let me get together with your boys, I'd like to beat out a little drum boogie, huh?
Well, I'd like that very much.
Stop it up there.
Charlie's now climbing up into the bandstand. He's getting back of the drum, sitting down there. He's got the proverbial thing going. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the drums, playing with Charlie Spivak's orchestra here at the Paramount Theater, where we're having our Glenn Miller tribute. Gene Krupa taking bow after bow, as you, of course, heard. The audience is really going mad. And now, there goes the bandstand. The band is going down. Here's Charlie Spivak.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And now for the next portion of our show, I take great pleasure in introducing the man who
is Louis Prima and that golden, glittering trumpet in his hand. Here he comes now as the band playing his thing. Louis is just prancing all over the stage. Major Glenn Miller broadcast from the Paramount Theater coming to you over WNEW in New York. Here comes Louis Prima to the microphone.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. The boys and myself are really happy to be here tonight to do our best to make this evening a success. And it's really wonderful the way all of you have responded to this tribute to a great man. And do this call for a great cause. And we're going to show our appreciation by doing a little song that we recorded recently as a story of a fellow called Robin Hood. That's enough. This is the story of a fellow who had a bow and an arrow and a whole gang that used to hide in the forest. And when the rich people came along, he took their money away from them and gave it to the poor people. Did you read that? All his children are at the store.
One.
People's money, give it to the poor people. Many long years ago, a fellow named Robin Hood, he used to rob the rich with every chance he could. Oh, you shouldn't get me wrong, because he was no square. With his trusty bow and arrow, he could part your hair. I didn't like the arrow. I didn't like the arrow. Give me a better one. Straight arrow. With his trusty bow and arrow, he could part your hair. That was an arrow. His body was Little John. Another was Allen Dale. 140 more. Together they hit the trail. They would scamper through the forest to the Blue Boar Inn. Mr. Edom told them where they should begin. Mr. Edom was the informer for the mob. It was a stool pigeon. He took from the rich man, gave it to the poor man. Had a fear for no man, only for his chick, whose name was Marianne. Here is a switcheroo of Robin Hood's loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, and here's what they had to do. They became his royal rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood. Then they had a fight one night in the forest.
Ladies and gentlemen, I guess about ends our little tale of Robin Hood, but not our broadcast from the Paramount Theater. We're going to return you to the studio now in order to hear 5 minutes of the latest news, and then return, and we'll stay with this show to its very end. We'll be with you most of the night, so don't go away. The latest news, and back to the Paramount Theater. This is WNEW New York.